You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Hey, I'm enjoying this sermon series on Lost, though. This is the third sermon I've got to preach from the series. I'm really excited about it. By the way, if you don't know who I am, my name is Jesse. I'm the lead pastor here. And last week, someone came to church who has been coming to our church for about 3 months. So they'd never seen me without a beard. And it was funny. So I shaved off my beard. And last week, they were like, who's this guy that looks and sounds like Jesse? So you know, if you're new, I am Jesse. I don't have a beard all year round, okay? It's only for winter to keep me warm in this place that someone decided to build a city. And can you imagine being the first settler here? Hey, it's so warm and nice and cozy here. And then winter comes and they're like, what did we do? It was like, they didn't have a furnace back then. Good grief. But anyway, we're doing this Lost series. And speaking of Lost, I'm a little lost right now. And it started, we talked about the Father. And when the Son came back in Luke chapter 15, we wanted to talk about the Father because I really believe the series is especially about the Father. And the Father gave the Son a robe, he gave the Son a ring, and he gave the Son a pair of shoes. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just get the podcast. It's Lost Week 1. Just get that, have a listen. I really do believe that that'll really empower your life to understand what the Father does for you, okay? If you've ever come to the Father, which if you're here, you probably have, or you're about to, right? So either way, listen to that podcast and understand what the Father has done for you and what He continues to provide for you, okay? And then we talked last week about the sheep. Sheep wander, told some really terrible stories that people really wished I didn't. But I grew up on a farm, and so the only stories I have about sheep are to do with eating them, okay? And so I told some stories about sheep, but sheep wander, don't they, right? Sheep wander around everywhere, and we talked about people who are in church or used to be in church, but then they began to wander. Things got in the way. They didn't necessarily say, I'm going to leave the church, but they wandered. And we talked about how to love those people anyway and not judge and hate and condemn people as if they made a decision to say, well, get out of my life, church, because that's not how it usually starts, is it? It starts with this thing and that thing, and all of a sudden I haven't been to church in 3 years. Get that podcast too. It'll be fantastic. But today we're going to talk about the coin. Who wants some coin? You know, coins are way more exciting in Australia. We have $1 coins and $2 coins. And they're not like yours where it's like, it's like really exciting to get one because like they don't, you know, like there's like 10 in the country and look, I got my dollar coin, my silver dollar or whatever it is, you know. Like in Australia, we have $1 coins and $2 coins. They're everywhere, right? All over the place. It's way more handy in vending machines than having to put in 115 pennies, right? Tick, 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 tick. We just put in a gold coin and boom, we have a Coke. Well, everyone else has a Coke. I don't remember. We have a lot of coins in Australia. And so I want to talk to you about the lost coin in Luke chapter 15. If you've got your Bibles, run to it. Luke chapter 15, only verses 8 to 10. Or suppose a woman. This is after Jesus was talking about the sheep, right? He talked about the sheep, the lost sheep, the wandering sheep. And then he goes on to say, or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light up a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Yeah. Reminder, there's a party in heaven every time someone gets saved. Reminder, there's a party in heaven right now because of what just happened at Eternity Church. Yeah. They are so much more excited than you are. But that's all right. They're angels, right? They're way more better at being awesome than we are. It's all good, right? Although, having said that, God says that He loves us more. How about that? You know that? There you go. So there's a party in heaven every time someone comes to the Lord. Come on, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much. We thank You so much for Your word. that it inspires us, that it encourages us. Lord God, we thank you for it. God, I pray that you help us not to become lost sheep or lost coins. Help us to watch for the signs, Lord God. Help us to understand how to stay away from that path, God, that we would spend the rest of our lives in your house with your people, being encouraged and inspired and reminded about the goodness of God day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out. God, we thank you for that opportunity. Help us as a family, though, Lord God, to notice when people are hurt and wandering, or when they're hurt and lost, Lord God, that we would never, ever forget people, but we would always have your heart for your people. Help us to learn from your word today, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, have you ever lost any cash? You've lost cash? Hands up if you've never lost cash. Good. Okay, there are little people. Little people's hands are up. Mom, give that boy some cash. He needs to learn. I have lost cash. I've lost a lot of things, haven't I? I told you about the wallet I lost a few weeks ago. Yep, I lose things. My dad always said that if my head wasn't screwed on tight, I'd lose that too. And that always gave me a little bit of fear as a young man. And every morning I wake up, I'd be like, yeah, it's on there nice and tight. I don't know what Dad's talking about, but it's not going anywhere today, right? But one time, Lauren and I, we needed to find some coins. I'd lost some coins. We wanted some dinner, and it takes money, right? Right? It takes money, especially when your cupboards are empty, right? Your pantry's empty. So there's these things in Australia called milk bars. Have you ever heard of a milk bar? You've got no idea what a milk bar is, do you? You're like, as far as I knew, it was like liquid. It's not a bar, right? Well, a milk bar is what you might call a corner store here, right? And there's not really any corner stores around here. I'm looking around. Do you say corner store? You don't even say that. There you go. I don't know what you'd call it then, but I haven't found one in America. Basically, every neighborhood would have a little store in it somewhere. And what that store would do is sell lollies, aka candy, and it would sell fish and chips. And that was its mission. And it was good at it. Everyone's mission in their city is to find the best milk bar or the best corner store to find your fish and chips, all right? Aussies, we love fish and chips. We're not New Zealanders, it's not fish and chops, and we're not English, it's not fish and chips, it's just fish and chips, all right? Someone say fish, chips. That's right. Now, chips in Australia, they're not these things. I would often go out when we first moved here and ask for a side of chips with things, and I'd get potato crisps, and they didn't go well with dinner. I'm like, why these people keep bringing me, like, bags of chips when I'm asking for chips? And it's like, well, they don't understand the difference that no one asks for, like, Doritos when they're having dinner, right? We want hot chips. Someone say chips. All right, French fries from now on. If you don't know what I'm talking about, when I say chips, I'm meaning French fries, all right? Someone say French fries. Good, all right, we're all on the same page. So everybody's mission is to find the store with the best chips, all right, the best hot chips. And because in Australia, if you're after church, everyone goes to the fish and chip shop, right? Everyone straight to the fish and chip shop. When church finishes on Sundays, fish and chip shops have lines that go out the door because every Aussie is grabbing a big, like maybe $5 or $10 worth of fish and chips. It comes wrapped up in butcher's paper, just a greasy, hot mess of deliciousness, and they take them home. Some people, if their parents are serving, they'll sit down in the foyer and they'll just eat them in there, dipping them in the tomato sauce, aka ketchup, all right? Dipping them in their tomato sauce, and every single Sunday, it's the life. It's amazing, right? People will say, hey, you want to come over for dinner after church? When someone invites you for dinner after church in Australia, you know it's just hot chips. And you're excited about it. Because in Australia, we have a hot chip, fish and chip sandwich, right? We get a bit of white bread because, you know, you don't use like wholemeal bread for this. That's for like a good lunch, all right? So we get white bread. Buttercup was the best stuff. Someone say, hit me up, Buttercup. Come on. That's the best bread in Australia, that Buttercup softness. You get some butter on that Buttercup. You just get it on there. You put the hot chips on there. It's amazing. Spray some tomato sauce on there, aka ketchup. Put the lid on that sucker. Cut it in half. Eat it. That is the best lunch you'll ever have. Anyone want to try that? Hands up if you think that sounds revolting. Y'all are offensive. So, every store had what's called minimum fish and chips, right? I'll take the minimum fish and chips. What that means is I'm broke, I'll take the cheapest one you've got, right? It used to be about 50 cents worth. Now it's probably about $4.80. When I was in Australia, at the store down the road from us, it was $3.20. Anyway, Lauren and I had no food in our house. None at all. And she was preggers, and that's Australian for pregnant. And she's always pregnant, that lady. And so we... It is. Every story in our life involves my pregnant, beautiful wife. But so she was pregnant, and we had no food in the house because I'd done a splendid job at budgeting. And so we needed enough money to get a minimum fish and chips, all right? And so we're freaking out. Like, we could find, like $2.70. We're 50 cents shy of minimum, right? I'm like, can we ask him to take, like, a percentage of... No, you have to have the minimum fish and chips. So we are searching everywhere for coins. Anyone ever done that? It's not just me, is it? Like, have you ever, like, literally torn your place apart because you just need 50 more cents to live, right? When I moved here, I wasn't skinny because of genetics. I was skinny because we were starving, right? And so I'm looking everywhere for 50 cents. 50 cents. We pull our house apart, like, destroyed that place looking for 50 cents. And we found 30 cents. So now we're up to $3, so we need 20 cents. It's killing me. Where is another 20 cents? I'm thinking through everything. I'm like, did I leave 20 cents in my desk at work? I'll drive there and get it. I'm hungry, all right? I've got to feed my bride, you know what I'm saying? So I finally come up with this brilliant idea of pulling my car apart to find 20 cents. So I did. I got the drill out. I unscrewed the door sill. You know, the door sill that holds the carpet down. I'm like, there'll be money under here for sure. So I pull up the carpet. This is a long time ago, all right? I'm not that broke now. Praise God, I'm blessed, all right? But all right, I wasn't fabulous at managing cash back then. And so I pull that up. Nope, none under there. So I go to the other side. Nope, none under there. Go to the back, unscrew that, pull up the carpet, and bingo! 20-cent piece right there. Man, I went back inside. I'm like, baby, you won't believe what I find out there. You won't believe the distances I'll go to feed you, baby, so you can have a baby, baby. I pulled apart the car for you. I got a screwdriver out. The car will never be the same. It lost about $1,000 in value, but we're going to have dinner. That's what I did for 20 cents or 14 cents US. Australia's money's not worth as much as yours. But that's what I did for 20 cents, right? Come on, can anyone relate to something that dumb, right? Y'all maybe did it for like $2, but like I did it for 20 cents, okay? But it started out $3. It was worth it at the start. And then in the end, you just kind of get carried away, don't you? Now I'm so close, I got to keep going, right? So I did, and I found it. So these last few weeks, I've been thinking, man, if that's what I'll do for 20 cents, what will I do for a person? Right? So some of you will go bat crap crazy trying to find a dollar. Right? Right? Yeah. Right? Come on, y'all. Some of you are like, I ain't that broke. All right. Some of you will go crazy to find $1,000. There we go. We sound better now? All right? Some of you will, right? You'll be like, where is that $1,000 coin that I lost? All right? Where is that thing? So what will you do for someone that you know who is lost? What would you do for someone that used to come to church with you, but now they don't? Someone who used to sit by you, but now they've gotten lost. See, if we're going to think about the coin like we thought about the sheep last week, as someone who was once in church, but now isn't, right? If we're going to think about people like that, if we're going to use that kind of context for the message today and last week, then what does it say about the person who is the coin? So the sheep was someone who wandered, right? They represented someone who was in church, but they let other things get in the way. They weren't planning on it. They didn't plan to leave church. They didn't plan to come once every 6 months. It just happened that way. And then 3 years, they hadn't been at all anymore. They slowly wandered away. Did any of you go home and start to think about that after we talked about that last week? Did you start to think about, maybe even in your iPhones or in your Androids or on your computers or in your notebooks, start to make a bit of a list of some people that you hadn't seen in a while that you thought maybe God could use you to reach out to them and bring some healing back into their lives? Did any of you think about that afterwards? I hope you did, because that was what I wanted to have happen. I didn't only want you to protect yourself from becoming a wandering sheep. I wanted you to help go and bring back those that had wandered. I wanted you to notice people that you hadn't noticed in a while. I wanted you to notice that you hadn't noticed them, amen? I wanted you to go and think about that, and I hope that you did. So as we think about coins, I wonder what they represent in the story. So the sheep wander, what's a coin represent? Because coins are different to sheep, right? Sheep have legs, coins don't, yeah? That's a good start, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I've never had a coin that lost itself. Have you? It's never happened in my life, right? None of my coins have ever gone, I do not like this guy, he is not good with money. He can't even find 20 cents. It won't be long until we are wasted on fatty French fries. I would rather be spent on a Chevy or a Ford, or am I allowed to say other ones, Paul? No, just Chevy and Ford are all I'm allowed to say from this stage. And so, Paul has spoken, so. I'd rather be spent on something that's going to have value, not turn into whatever, stomach contents. But coins don't lose themselves. It doesn't happen. I've never had that one coin that I'm like, man, that one coin, it always disappears. I've never had that, have you? Come on, you haven't, have you? Coins don't lose themselves. We have to play a part in their loss, don't we? That hit, didn't it? You're like, snap, I don't want to confront this today. I don't want to talk about this today. This is going to be a little bit touchy today. Like the coin under the carpet of my car, it didn't say, Jesse, I don't want to be spent on French fries, so I'm going to jump out of your loose pocket and roll under the seat and then not have you noticed for so long that now I'm stuck under the carpet as well, and it's going to take surgery on your car to find me. The coin didn't have that plan. It didn't jump down there. It doesn't have a mind to do that. It just fell out of my loose pocket and I didn't notice it until one day I needed something from it, and I don't want to treat people like that. Amen. I don't want people to slip out of our pockets, so to speak, and we don't notice them until all of a sudden we're like, man, we need an electrician in the church. Oh, what about that guy that used to come? Oh, he hasn't come for ages. We lost him. But let's go back to the losing. Some people are like that. Now, don't get offended at me. We're going to talk about a fence later. Not a picket fence, the offense. We're going to talk about that later, okay? So don't get offended at me right now. But we're not perfect here. We're not. We make coins sometimes. We do, right? If you're new here today, I want you to know I'm super glad you're here. I love that you're here. I know that you're going to have a wonderful experience here. But I also know that if you're here for a long time, not just a good time, that at some point along that journey, someone's going to say something to you that's going to hurt a little bit. I know it. I hope it's not me. I hope it's not. But there's got to be someone in here. Do you know how I know? Because when most people come to church at the beginning of their Christian journey, if someone's here at the beginning of their journey, well, they might not quite be so perfect yet. But I'm further down the journey and I'm not yet either. I still say to some people, I'll call you and forget. I've done that. Have you ever done that? Now, it's getting less and less because I'm starting to recognize these mistakes that I make and I start to write down things I say so I don't forget. But sometimes I'll say to someone, or as we're running by, I might say something that's perceived differently and then I forget. Yeah? We will make coins sometimes. We don't want to make coins, but sometimes we will. I think it's good if you're new here that you know this right now, that we're not perfect. The good thing about that is you'll fit right in. You will. I'm not only making a joke, you really will. You don't have to be perfect here. That's not what we're after. What we're after is a heart after God. What we're after is a heart that says, I want to become more like Christ. I want to open up my heart and my life to God to do great things in me, but I recognize it's a journey. One day someone's going to get hurt by me. I hope it's something I recognize immediately and do something about, right? One of us might say something mean, something unthoughtful, or sadly, someone might say something that they thought about and said anyway. Sometimes people leave the church because of it. And I don't want that to be the story here. You too? Come on, it's quiet in here, and this is the moment where I'm okay with it. The question is, what happens when we notice, and how do we respond? Right? If we notice that we hurt someone, what do we do about it, right? Now, it's not about being a cult and saying, you can't leave, get back here. I'm not talking about that. People can do whatever they want. The point is that if they leave, we're still going to love them. If they come back, we're going to love them, right? But if we hurt them, we're going to take some level of responsibility for that and do something about it, amen? Maybe Pastor Jesse said he'll have lunch with them and forgot. Maybe Pastor Jesse said he would visit and came too late. Maybe someone in the church said something offensive to them. Maybe they didn't like the way we handled a certain scenario because maybe they didn't understand all of the information. You know what? They don't have to know all the information, but I still need to care, right? I still need to care that they don't. I still need to care about them enough to go and talk to them. Or maybe one of us was careless with our words. Maybe we said a connect group leader would call them and the leader didn't, right? These things happen. Maybe they tried to go to a connect group, but the connect group did nothing but talk about politics, even though we ask our group leaders not to do that. I haven't heard that complaint yet, so that's good. I feel like our connect group leaders are doing a good job at talking about Jesus. Amen? Come on, someone say, talk about Jesus. I don't want to talk about the problems in the world. I want to talk about Jesus. Amen? See, I don't know all the reasons people have left churches around the world, but I feel like I still have a responsibility to care for them anyway, amen? Our church, a church of our size, there's about 700 people that come on Sundays, which means there's about 1,000 to 1,100 people that attend every month, right? And a church that size, someone's offended someone. I just know it. I know it, right? I know. Some of you have offended me. It's true. It's true, but we'll talk about what to do about that later, right? But I got over it, amen? I still love you, amen? Every one of you. But coins are the ones that we lost. We did something. Or maybe it was you. I'm not saying every one of you has done this, don't worry. But I want you to recognize when it's happened to someone so we can reach out to them and love them, amen? Maybe we didn't call them, didn't visit them, didn't follow up like we said we would, didn't notice them, didn't help them, didn't notice their pain, didn't notice the missing. Didn't. Maybe it's just how they perceived us and it wasn't true at all, but we all know perception's reality, isn't it? To many people. The first thing is we got to make it okay. It's not okay to hurt people, but it is okay to be on a journey, right? It's okay to be on a journey and we're all on a journey. Let's not get defensive. Let's not think that we're above moments of lapse. Let's, you know, like, I'm not judging you. I'm not shaming you or myself. I'm simply recognizing that sometimes we make mistakes and sometimes our mistakes hurt others. You know what I'm saying? I'm so grateful that Jesus doesn't expect perfection from me, but just a heart after him. Amen. That's why when people badmouth our church online, we respond kindly. We don't get up on there and be like, well, you're ugly. I was trying to think of the most three-year-old response I could come up with. It was good, wasn't it? We don't get up there and go nuts at people. Sometimes if they say something horrible enough, I'll actually send them a gift card saying, we love you. So what do we do for lost coins? Everything we can to bring them back, amen? See, on that night when my coin was lost underneath the carpet of my car, I was not going to stop till I found 20 cents. Why? Not only do I benefit, but so does my family benefit, right? So you benefit and we all benefit when you do, when you just don't stop trying to bring back the lost coins, amen? We're not going to stop loving them. We're going to find a way to show them that we care about them. We're not going to forget about them anymore. We're going to do our best to remember them from now on. We're going to admit our faults and not get defensive and try to blame somebody else. We should all be in the habit of apologizing when we wrong people. Invite them back to church. Invite them to dinner or lunch. Come on. You know what? Proverbs says this is one of my favorite things when I've hurt people. Nothing says I'm sorry like it cost me something to say I'm sorry. Proverbs says a gift paves the way for the giver. You heard that? Isn't that neat? Because like you'd think that if I give someone $1,000 that I paved a way for them. Proverbs says a gift paves the way for the giver. Goes on in other areas to say it is better to give than to receive and so on and so forth. But the gift paves the way for the giver. I have often, when I have recognized that I have wronged someone, gone and bought them a gift, done something for them, and just said simply, I'm sorry. Now, do you know what? They may not respond. They may not want to hear from me. They may not care, but I'm still going to reach out and do what I can do. And after that, I've left it in God's hands, and I'm going to say, God, I'm sorry that I offended that person. Forgive me. Amen. But I'm going to take responsibility. Someone say responsibility. You know what? It's not just in church that this matters. In your own life, even in your career, if you know you lost someone because you messed up, own that, you know? It's all right. It's not like, oh my gosh, I've got to pretend I'm perfect. No, just own that. I don't mean own it like a badge of honor. Hey, I'm an offender. I'm just saying, none of us are going to hate you for messing up occasionally. Now, admittedly, if repeatedly it's you every time someone's left the church, we're probably going to have a conversation with you. It's not going to be, get your butt out of our church, kapow. It's going to be, come on, bud, we need a chat. Because you got to stop telling people everything you think about their haircuts when they come to church. You just got to, I know you think it's stinking hilarious, right? So we'll have a conversation at some point, right? But it's okay if you mess up occasionally. I can't imagine the pressure of having to pretend you've never screwed up ever in your life. That must be exhausting. Just admit it. Own that. Apologize. Make it right. Ask for forgiveness. See, once I had to ask someone for forgiveness because I told them that I care more about their soul than their heart. I thought I was saying something right, but I got it messed up. Had to apologize. I thought I was doing the right thing, but I ruined that person for about 2 years. They didn't come back to church. I was a youth pastor. They were a leader. I had to say sorry. Oh, I coined that person, didn't I? Can I have the band come back up? So we're going to take responsibility for those things, aren't we? Yeah. But I want to talk to you for a brief moment now, just a couple of minutes. How do we avoid becoming a coin? Isn't that a good thought? See, we talked last week about how to avoid becoming a lost sheep or a wandering sheep. How do you avoid becoming a coin? So what should we do? Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Did you get that? Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. AKA, don't be like the world. Don't take offense at everything. If we want to talk about the world versus us, they take offense at everything, don't they? Everything. There ain't nothing you can say out there that's not going to offend somebody. Someone's going to get upset at you. Don't be like the world. Do not conform to the pattern of the world. Don't take offense at everything, right? We're not going to do that. Ecclesiastes 7:21. Do not take heart all the things that people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. Your heart knows that many times you yourself have cursed others. Don't take offense at everything, right? The Message says it like this. Don't eavesdrop on every conversation. What if the gossip's about you? You'd rather not hear it, right? You've done that a few times, haven't you? Said things behind someone's backs that you wouldn't say to their face. AKA Facebook. Boom. AKA, Facebook has removed the fear of a good beating, is what this passage is saying. you wouldn't say that to their face, but on Facebook, you're a big, tough guy, aren't you? Even if you're an 11-year-old girl. Yeah, that's right. Don't take offense at everything. In the world, in a world that seems to be so obsessed with connection, we're sure looking for a reason to disconnect from people, aren't we? Man, I can't believe the ways people be offended these days. I just don't like the way they dress. It offends me. Are you serious? Toughen up, princess. Put your big boy pants on. Put your big girl pants on. You'll be all right. Whatever, right? We live in a world where people's biggest fear is having an unpublished thought. Yet we freak out about everyone's published thoughts and say things like, keep your opinions to yourself, but read my 1,000 of them right here. The world says, if you disagree with me, you're a moron. If you disagree with me, I'm going to throw a tantrum. I'm going to have a hissy fit. I'm going to yell and scream and get angry. Well, that's not going to fly in church. Because it says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. We're not going to be like the world. In here, you can disagree with each other and still be friends. In here, you can be a left-wing voter and a right-wing voter and still be friends. It's okay. In church, it's okay. Don't be like the world. Stop looking for reasons to be offended. You better believe there is a reason that I can be offended already today, but I just don't care. I don't want to live a victimized life with an offended heart and a bitter root deep down in my soul. When I feel a little bit offended, I'll either kindly talk to the person, which is usually quite beneficial, or I'll passionately take it to Jesus Christ and he'll bring peace to my heart. Amen. Come on, stand up with me, church. Offense is this world's biggest enemy. People are so afraid of it, yet so quick to look for it. I don't understand it. So afraid of being offended, yet looking for offense everywhere we can. Everywhere we can. That's not how it works in here. You got to guard your heart against being easily offended. Come on now, you got an Australian pastor. That's what we do, right? We say things sometimes. Guard your heart against offense, amen? I don't want you to leave because someone didn't like your shirt. I don't want you to leave because someone got angry at you for voting one way or the other, right? Well, you know what? They might be offended about how you voted, but don't get offended about their offense. That's up to you. I can't help them being offended. That's right, you can't, but you can decide if you're going to be or not. Right? Come on now, people. Let's not let a bitter root get in us. Rather than be offended, let's assume the best in each other. Right? Lauren and I in our family, we have a saying, assume the best. Also known as assume the best. Because I heard some smart aleck in here say assume. Punk. You need to leave. Assume. We say assume the best. Jeff pulls me up on that one every single time as well. Because you know what? When people fly past your house at a rapid rate of knots, it's easy to assume they're a moron. Start cursing them, right? Right? It's so much easier on your heart to assume that they need to pee real bad. Right? Right? It's true, isn't it? That is so much. In fact, you've been there and all of a sudden you're like, man, let me clear a way for you, right? You call me skinny, I assume you mean I look very handsome. You call me loud, I assume you mean passionate. You call me ugly, I assume you mean manly. That's what I'm going with. I see who you voted for. I assume you genuinely believe that was your best option. I see you brought a car that costs more than my house. I assume that you're very generous anyway, and that is the fruit of that. I see you missed church. I assume you were in a coma. That's right. The world's going to assume the worst in all of us. They want to call us hypocrites because in church we're not perfect. They say that we say one thing and do another, and it's not even true. We hold up the Bible and say this is what we're all trying to do while struggling to do it ourselves, right? And we're going to keep trying. We're not going to stop trying. We're going to keep trying to be what the Word of God calls us to be. Amen? Yep. The world's going to assume the worst in you. They want to stick it to you, but we're going to stick by you. We're going to stick up for you. And rather than be offended every time someone doesn't listen to you, right? This is church. All this stuff I'm saying right now is not just good for church. It's good for your marriage. It's good for your workplace. It's good for your friends. It's good for your families. Don't be like the world. You're better than that, amen? You're not a victim all the time. You're a child of God. You're a child of God. Now, you can talk about the offense or you can talk about whose you are, amen? Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. That's right. You can talk about what Jed said or what Pastor Jesse said. Pastor Jed and Pastor Jesse, they said this. Or you can talk about the ring and the robe and the shoes that God gave you. Come on now. God says you're His most prized possession. God says only good things about you. God says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Come on, we're going to get up here and pray in a minute. Why? Some of you are like, I don't know if I can go down the front today because people assume that I have an offended heart. See, what did we just talk about? Right? If you have a bitter root in your heart because someone said something to you, come on down the front and let us pray for you, because don't let bitterness take root. Amen? Don't let it happen. If you have an offense that you need to deal with it kindly and compassionately, understanding that you've done it to others too, okay? Maybe not the same thing, but a thing, okay? Come down and get prayer. Do you know what? Maybe you just need, unrelated to the sermon, you need prayer for your family, for your relationships, for your marriage, for your finances, for your body, for health and healing, for your mind. I don't know what it is, but we do serve a big God, and whatever you bring to Him today is going to get left right here and healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. So come on down, let's pray for you.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.